Hey guys, Abel here, back with another video. God damn it, it's cold. It's still, my God, like 20 and a half degrees Celsius. Apparently, you need to set the AC higher than what temperature you want in the house because it was set to like 25 and then, well, clearly this is the end result. So now I turned it up a little bit. Anyways, in today's video, I would like to talk to you about the topic of eating out and what my simple strategies are for this. This is a topic that I get asked about from basically every client that I work with, except by maybe those that are very experienced and have basically no issues with this whole thing at all and never had. So since I repeat myself so much, I thought I might as well just put this out here so that if someone reaches out to me after following my channel, they will have come across this video and they have that much of a head start. I don't really expect this video to completely change the fact that this will be a concern for most people that I interact with, but nevertheless, here it is, and hopefully it will be useful for you in the context of someone who is interested in maintaining a very good body composition, getting lean maybe while still eating out, or at least staying lean while eating out on a semi-regular basis, maybe in some cases on a regular basis. How can you do all of this? Obviously, this is something that we have to talk about because virtually every single human interaction that you will have is gonna be surrounded by something that you're ingesting. And from a leanness perspective, pretty much the best thing that you can be ingesting are drugs that you can swallow orally, but most people hopefully are not going to be doing that. So we are left with food and drinks. And of course, there are always calorie-free beverages and water, but when you're gathering with people somewhere outside of your home, probably you're going to be consuming something else than just water and Coke Zero. So the first thing that I always tell to anyone who is concerned about eating out, social events, and what they're going to do to one's progress is that in the vast majority of the cases, what's actually going to hurt your progress is not the eating out itself. It's not the restaurant food. It's not even the alcohol. It's what you do afterwards. In the case of alcohol, what you do afterwards can also include the fast food place that you visit once you're done clubbing or you're done at the bar. But when we're talking about restaurants and eating out, it's more often your emotional reaction to what just happened. It's fairly tough to do an amount of damage in a restaurant that would meaningfully hurt your progress in the medium to long term. Maybe instead of the 1500 calories that you planned on eating in a restaurant, you ate more like 3500, 4000. Is that good? No. But there's the sort of thing where, okay, if you can just chalk that up as a loss or as a learning experience, and then you actually learn from what happened and you try to fix the errors that led to this little bit of a slip up or at least deviation from the plan, and next time do better, then how much is it going to impact your progress on the whole? It will take away a couple of days of dieting, or even if you're not dieting, just maintaining, what's going to happen? You're gonna store a bit of fat, you're gonna drop that off in a couple of days probably. Not all of the extra calories that you ate are gonna be stored as fat. Some of it is just gonna be some water retention. You're gonna be a bit bloated, the scale weight is gonna go up a bit. You're gonna be back at square one in a couple of days if you can cut your losses there. But what happens often, unfortunately, is that people feel frustrated. They feel like a failure. Okay, like I planned on only eating 1,000 calories here or 1,500. I ate 4,000. My God, I destroyed my progress. It took me so long to actually make that progress, and now it took me so little time to destroy that progress. So fast forward a couple of hours, and they are at home binging. They will continue the eating spree by stopping at some 7-Eleven or whatever, one of these stores that is open all night, and they will buy some ice cream. They will continue with that at home. And then in some cases, 1 or 2 weeks later, we can actually talk about someone who just destroyed months of progress at times. I've been there myself, and I can tell you that this is just really, really horrible for every part of your being. It's bad for you physically. Like, this sort of eating behavior and eating pattern is obviously not very healthy. It's bad for you psychologically in multiple ways. Obviously, it's just crappy for one to see your progress being destroyed in front of your eyes so quickly. But secondly, you start destroying trust in yourself. Like, how the hell do I commit to anything in the future when even if I achieve what I did, I just destroy it so quickly like this? That's very crap as well. But let's take less extreme scenarios. So not every eating out event, which sort of doesn't go ideally, has to end this badly. In some cases, this is just enough for people to slowly abandon their goals, or to just conclude that, you know, this whole fitness lifestyle and this whole getting lean or staying lean thing, this just seems too hard. Like, it's just too impractical, too inconvenient. It's just not something that I think I can pull off. So if you know that this is true of you as well, that for you, the problem seems to come from not so much the event itself or the eating out itself, but from what you do afterwards and your emotional reaction to the whole situation, then first of all, I think it will help you just to know this, because probably what you need to be strategizing for in that case is not so much the restaurant. Like, your biggest concern is not how to save up calories for the restaurant itself, but what will you do and how will you behave afterwards? It seems like, okay, I basically just identified the problem and I'm not leaving you with an actual solution. And to an extent, that's true. This is very complex. But still, I think there's value in just recognizing this, because usually these people are still strategizing for the event itself. It's like, okay, I'm going to save up calories like this, and I'm going to increase my step count like this, and I'm going to work out before the event, and that's going to help. And it's like, well, it's going to help you to an extent with what's happening there, but that's not your issue. Your issue is what happens afterwards. And secondly, just kind of a useful mantra that I've heard from someone before, and I like to repeat this to myself as well, which luckily I don't have to as often anymore, but from time to time I do. And that is, whenever you think that the damage is already done, just tell yourself, like, in your head, out loud as much as you can, that the damage is not done yet. You have done some damage. Maybe you deviated a bit from your plan, but the damage is not done yet. It's not that it doesn't matter what you do from now on. You can cut your losses here, and that's going to be much better than cutting it 1,000 calories later. And that's going to be even better than stopping it 2,000 calories later. So the more you can internalize this message, the more successful you're going to be with this, probably. Okay, next thing is, if you are someone who historically have always had a hard time not doing stupid stuff when you're eating out, is to go to the event with a concrete plan and as concrete as possible. What do I mean by that? A non-concrete plan would be something like, okay, I'm going to be eating in moderation, or I'm going to be drinking in moderation. A concrete plan would be to say, okay, I'm going to have one appetizer and one main dish, and I'm going to have two drinks. Or I'm going to have no appetizer, but I'm going to have a salad and a main dish and a dessert. Both options are fine, even though one of them is probably higher calorie than the other, or it might not be, I have no idea. But what matters is that it's concrete, that it's specific. Saying I'm going to be eating in moderation, well, that's very much down to the individual what moderation means, right? Saying that I'm going to be drinking in moderation, again, very much up to interpretation. But saying that I'm going to have two drinks, well, two drinks is two drinks that cannot be turned into four, no matter how you slice it. Of course, you can hack the system by asking for a wine glass that is like this big, but that's the benefit of eating out with other people, that probably you, again, won't want to make yourself look like a fool. So be as specific as possible. And again, what your specific plan is, it's not even so important. What matters is that you have that plan, because that is going to be basically your anchor in the storm. You need something that you can fall back on and that can be your light in the dark, that can guide you. If in the heat of the moment, you're just not thinking as clearly and you're about to do something stupid, you can just remember that guideline. In those moments, if you have something very non-specific in your head, like, I'm just going to be moderate, well, that's much easier to bend and twist to suit your momentary impulses better. If you're someone who is a bit prone to overly black and white thinking and just snapping or giving in completely if you cannot be perfect and cannot adhere perfectly to some specific guidelines, then maybe it would help you to give yourself ranges or sort of tiers, like, okay, best option would be to have two drinks and one main dish and an appetizer. Good still would be to have four drinks and a main dish and an appetizer and a dessert. And then still acceptable would be this and this. So maybe you can push these very specific boundaries out more to give yourself more of a wiggle room. That could be beneficial for you if you're prone to really be too radical. This is a bit individual dependent, but in general, having guidelines is better than being overly vague. The next thing is something that is sort of a guiding principle behind the whole thing, is it's useful to have the following mantra in mind. I want to maximize enjoyment and I want to minimize calories. So one without the other is incomplete and problematic, right? Like, if your mindset is just minimize calories without the enjoyment part, then okay, then that leads you down the road of, well, okay, I'm just gonna go there and have the smallest, lowest calorie thing. Like, I'm just gonna have a mixed salad and I'm gonna ask them to not put oil on it, and then I'm gonna be abstaining from everything else. That is sort of a recipe for a not super, super fun event in a restaurant, for example. If you have the other mindset, which is just maximize enjoyment, but you have no regards to calories, obviously that's also problematic. I don't really need to detail why. But the two together, now that's where it becomes very useful, because what you're going there for is enjoyment. You're not going there to stuff your face or to consume at least 4,000 calories. No, you want to have a good time and you want to go home thinking, okay, this was great. And that can be achieved in a number of ways. As far as the food side of things is concerned, you want to feel satisfied at the end of it, right? You want to feel like, I'm well fed. I no longer sit here hungry, food focused, craving things. I don't want to have that feeling. And at the same time, of course, you want to have tried nice, unique tastes, things that you wouldn't prepare for yourself at home, things that you can really only get in some good restaurant. So you also want to experience that. Now, that does not require, for example, that you stuff yourself full of whatever food and eat 3,000 calories worth of it. You could perhaps get that same enjoyment from only, I don't know, 700 calories worth of that food. If you can start your meal with a salad, for example, it can take the edge off a little bit. It's going to make you a bit more satiated, not like stuffed or anything like that. And then by the time you're starting your main dish, maybe you won't need all 1,500 calories from that meal to feel nicely satisfied and satiated. You will only need like 700 calories. In a general sense, when you're eating out or even when you're eating at home, it's good to ask yourself from time to time, especially when you're already quite full and you're really only eating still because, well, I gotta finish the whole plate, or because I don't come to a restaurant so often, so I have to finish everything, whether the next bite is really gonna make you happier or it's really gonna make you more satisfied, or really you're just eating because you think you're gonna miss out on something if you don't. Well, you're not gonna miss out on anything. This is not the last time you come to a nice restaurant. You can repeat this in the future. Food is plenty in the world. If you're watching this video, you can certainly afford food. So you will have plenty of chances to do this still. It doesn't have to be all done today. So that's just something useful to remind yourself of. The next thing I would say is, it's good to save up calories for events like this, which is something that people commonly do who are interested in fitness. So they will eat less that day. Maybe they will even eat less the day before. They want to create a caloric buffer. That's a good thing. That's a smart thing. But I would say do this within reason. Don't starve yourself and go to the restaurant that way. So I've done things like this in the past. I've seen this from tons of other people. It's not an uncommon practice to starve oneself the day before, starve oneself in the day off, and then go to the restaurant just completely famished and then attack the table like that. And then lo and behold, an hour later, the person is amazed. Like, my God, how did I do so much damage? How could I have done this? Well, you did this because you were not sane by the time you sat down to eat, because you starved yourself. And well, like, that's what happens. So my recommendation would be save up calories, but don't starve. So eat normally the day before. On the day off, just go for lower calorie options before. I would recommend generally to not skip meals altogether, because your brain is programmed to make you hungry at certain times. So if leading up to the event, you would have had two meals normally, have two meals now, just, you know, cut the calories there in half or by three, and you will have saved up a lot of calories for the day. Instead of your third meal or fourth meal or whatever, you will have that restaurant meal. And if you did your job well, then maybe you have an extra 2,000 or whatever, 1,000 calories at least left that you can spend there. And then, you know, if on top of those 1,000 calories, you still go over a little bit your targets, then you can still chop those 1,000 calories off. So you didn't go over your target calories by 2,000 calories at the end of the day, only by 1,000 this way. And that's a good thing. So yeah, saving up calories is smart, but ideally don't skip meals. Definitely don't starve yourself the day before, especially, but even on that day, if normally you had like a salad and you had it with some fatty fish, maybe you have a smaller salad now and you have some leaner fish, like that could be an approach, or lean dairy instead of full fat dairy. That's another viable option. So maintain diet structure for the most part, and just don't sit down to eat famished, because that's a recipe for really poor decisions that the person is going to then regret later. Next point, or this could actually be an extension of this previous point, that ordering your food in a way so that you're starting with the less palatable foods and you're continuing with the more palatable foods and you're starting with less energy dense foods and continuing with more energy dense foods is a good idea, because when you're hungrier, you care less about just how tasty your food is. Of course, you still don't want to eat stuff that tastes like shit, but you fundamentally just don't want to be hungry. You're just less picky. And it's good to be aware of that, because this means that when you're hungrier, you don't need something super palatable and super complex to satisfy yourself. You could actually be quite happy with just a salad then. It could even be a relatively plain salad. It doesn't have to be the yummiest thing on the planet. And then as you eat that, now you're a bit more satiated, and basically each additional unit of satiety that you can get in a restaurant is a win, because for one, it reduces the space for the more energy dense stuff later down the line, which is calories saved for that night, or you being saved from those calories for that night. And secondly, it also reduces the chances of you doing something stupid later that evening, which then you would regret later. All right, next thing is, if you eat out, I don't believe that you need to track calories. In fact, generally, I recommend that one doesn't track calories or try to estimate calories when they're in a restaurant. Trying to do that is just a complete shit show. It's really tough. The food is not prepared by you. You don't exactly know all the ingredients. You don't exactly know how much oil is there. So it just creates more stress, more hassle, and you're going to be inaccurate most likely at the end of it anyway. Now, if you do estimate calories anyway, I would recommend you to overestimate rather than underestimate. So add like a 20-30% error margin to all your estimations, because likely there's going to be more oil and other such fillers that are going to increase the calorie count. So be conservative if you're trying to be accurate. But I don't believe that you need to track calories, because at the end of the day, this is a unique occurrence. This is not something that you're doing every other day, most probably. This is something that for most people at most happens like once a week. If you're going to be a little bit over your target, it's not going to make a dent. Again, what's going to make the dent is being way, way, way over by doing silly things. So if you avoid that, I think you're winning. And the thing is, if you want to avoid that, if you don't want to be doing silly things in the restaurant, then you don't need to know the calorie count for that. And basically just comes down to making reasonable choices when you're eating out. Adult-like reasonable choices. And what are those? You know what those are. I could show you a bunch of different plates of food, and you would be able to pick those ones out that are conducive to adult-like behavior. If I show you a bowl of salad, okay, that's more than just reasonable, that's pretty strict. If I show you a plate with a steak and some fries, is that super strict? No, but is that reasonable? Yes. If I show you a plate of chicken fingers with fries, again, is that strict? No. Is that super hardcore? No, but is that reasonable? Totally. If I show you some fatty, oily, saucy lava cake with pizza and then sausages hanging out of it, and even the names of these foods are kind of crazy at times. It's like the whatever explosion or cheese dynamite or whatever. Like if it has a name like that, like there is a chance that it's going to be something crazy. And then you ask the waiter what that is, and it's like, well, sir, is this 3-story building that we made out of cheese and then cacao is flowing out of the cheese holes and whatever. Like, okay, that's not reasonable. That is something that you do for an eating challenge or something like that. That's what a child would pick. If you want to make a reasonable choice, you will know what those choices are. So I don't think that you need to track calories, because what's going to make or break you, or what's going to make or break your success from a fitness standpoint, is whether you're able to make reasonable choices or whether you're going to go for the crazy ones. And on that, another tip, if you don't know where to start, I said this in previous videos, I know, but some things you just gotta hear again, just pick out a person at the table who, I mean, if they are similar to you in terms of physical properties, that's even better, but just pick out someone. It can even be the person in the worst shape, because most people don't really go crazy in restaurants. Most people enjoy themselves in restaurants, and they're not gonna try to be strict, but they're also not gonna ask for 4 main dishes, or they are also not gonna have 3 desserts. Like, no, like they will kind of just eat and then they will just move on with their lives and just mimic someone. Often we just lose perspective in this whole fitness field because we're used to being strict. We're used to be eating differently than most people around us. So when we need to make kind of just normal food choices like they do, we just feel completely lost. So just pick someone for yourself and shadow them. And then that can be your guidance for the night. Another thing, and this is only something that I do personally, you don't need to do this, but for me, it's a big help and it might be helpful for some of you as well. I don't have dessert basically ever when I eat out, mainly because I can feel really nicely satisfied from maybe an appetizer or a salad and then a main dish, and I feel really good. I feel complete, like I'm done. Then if I eat some dessert, it can often just sort of reset my appetite a little bit, and it can make me cravey for a bunch of other stuff, and I just don't like the feeling. So basically, I always have my dessert at home, and then I will actually make that something healthier, lower energy density. So something like berries, fruits with some Greek yogurt or cottage cheese or something with some sweetener. That's actually a very tasty meal, and that will be my dessert. You don't need to do this, but for me, it also helps in the restaurant that, like, okay, like, if I was tempted to have a bunch of bullshit still, like, I still have some treat at home, which is kind of nice to look forward to. It's not that I'm thinking about that while I'm in the restaurant, but it just became my regular routine when I'm eating out. So you don't need to do this, but it might help you. So I thought I would share this as well. All right, I have two more points. One of them is rather important. The one after that is more of a bonus. So the more technical tip, when it comes to making room for that social meal or making up for damage or compensating for the damage in the days around the event. So not the day of the event, we already discussed that, so it's good to create a caloric buffer there. But when it comes to the day before or the day after, or especially days before and after, I would recommend that you compensate afterwards, not before. Because again, you don't want to go there starving, you don't want to go there extra food focused, you don't want to set the conditions so that you're much more likely to do a bunch of stupid things when you sit down to eat, because you're surrounded by energy dense foods. So any amount of stupid behavior is twice as punishing there. So you don't want to be exposing yourself to that risk. So it's good if you go there just feeling as normal as possible. However, if you went over your caloric targets and you created some quote unquote damage, then probably your leptin levels are higher, you're not as hungry in the days afterwards anyways, at least the day after certainly. You're probably more motivated to diet anyway because A, you're not hungry, B, you know how much damage was created if there was some that was created. So it sort of just all makes sense. So cut your calories lower in the day after, or maybe 1 or 2 days after. That's gonna nicely compensate or at least reduce the damage that was done when you ate out, and then you can just move on. The other option, when you're cutting your calories lower the days before, that helps with some problems, but then it creates other problems. So that's why I would opt for compensating afterwards. And then lastly, it's always a good thing to just try to find other things as well that you can look forward to when you're eating out other than just the food. This should be an obvious thing, but I know that at times it just isn't. So hopefully you're going out to eat with people that you actually like, and you can also enjoy their companies, which can sort of just distract you from the magic of the food that is all around you there. And even if you're going out with people that you don't like that much, I mean, try to find some common points with one of them. Maybe you have some topic that you can, like, really engagingly talk about, and that will make it much easier to make reasonable choices when you're eating out, because ultimately, we eat food and a lot of it for pleasure. So if you can have another source of pleasure there, then that should help you as well. I've had a lot of experiences when I was sitting around the table with a bunch of people that just bored me to death. And I know that in that situation, I can have two attitudes about it. One is where I just resent the whole situation and I'm pissed that I have to sit here and listen to their boring crap. And plus, like, they're making it more difficult for me by having all this food around me. And the other one is where I go, okay, let's embrace it. I'm here. Let's say in this particular situation, I did not actually want to be here, which certainly happened many times before. So let's just embrace it for what it is, and let's try to find some enjoyment in the situation. So who are these people? Can I find some common ground with one of them? Can I listen to what they are talking about? Maybe it's not as boring as what it seems at first. And the answer in some cases was no, I can't. This is just a really, really crappy company. In which case you can do other things. You can think about a future video script if you're me. You can brainstorm about something else. There's always something to be done. But try to embrace the situation, whatever it is, and don't be resentful about it, because A, being resentful is just not a very nice thing, but B, I can tell you, it makes time pass twice as slowly. So don't do that. Anyways, guys, I think this was my video for today. I hope it was informative, and I hope it was helpful to some of you in some way, or hopefully many of you. Please let me know what you thought. If you have any questions or comments, drop them in the comment section. If you like the video, please like it. Subscribe for more content like this. For coaching, consultations, and those things, please check the video description down below. And otherwise, thank you for your attention for today, and we will see each other in the next video.